This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball time, turn on the fan. JD's coming on, he's a baseball man. I gotta get the scoop before I drive home from the kid from Queens calling Arlington home. Car pulls up, who can it be? A fresh El Camino, it's Matt Levine. He rolls down his window and he started to say, it's all about making that kick-ass trade.
All right, joining us now, the Ben and Skin Show, is the general manager of the Texas Rangers, John Daniels, brought to you by BMW, the ultimate driving machine. So we are joined now by JD. How you doing today, JD?
I'm all right, guys.
Where are you?
Beautiful Cleveland.
Yeah, nice. So you're on Cleveland. Power rank your top 50 favorite things about Cleveland.
Ooh, I like this.
They had an interesting convention at the hotel we're staying at.
Oh,
to look it up.
Top 50?
No.
Oh.
No. I was interested. No. I'll tell you what. It doesn't have the greatest reputation, but beautiful spot today. Nice, about 55, sunny, crisp. Ran down by the water, got the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the Brown Stadium, the lake there.
Did you run into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and check out the Bon Jovi exhibit?
No, I think it was closed. It didn't appear to be open.
That
sucks. That's on my list.
Well, you know what's interesting? When I think about Cleveland, I think of East Coast. I mean, you grew up, you know, in New York, and so it's kind of East Coasty, right? I mean, it's kind of got that same vibe.
I think it's more Midwest. I think it's more in like the Chicago, Milwaukee, you know, that kind of range.
Why are they starting so early here, John?
We were just talking about that. I'm not sure. Some guys said it was because of school still in, so they do it early. And I was thinking it might be because it gets cold here at night, but I don't totally know.
Okay, well, let's dive right in. We want to talk to you about a few different things. Martin Perez heads to the DL. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, you know, because after his last start, not yesterday, the one prior to that, he had some discomfort there in that elbow, the one that he broke over the winter. It doesn't appear to be structural at this point. He's getting evaluated more in Dallas this afternoon, so we'll know more then. But and then it kind of exacerbated yesterday, where just he had kind of like nervy sensations, a little lack of grip strength while he was out there. I don't know if you could tell when he was catching the ball from Torino's. He looked pretty kind of guarded in doing so. So obviously, you know, he has not gotten off to a good start. Stuff been down a little bit, probably more concerning, just mechanically command down. Want to get him evaluated and see where he's at.
Yeah, that's, you know, and you guys have had a number of setbacks there with just kind of random injury type stuff with your rotation. But I did see some news coming out on Rougui Odor. You guys expect him back pretty soon? How's he progressing?
Doing better. He's last couple of days he's been out in the field, got some work there in Toronto, getting out in the field again today. He hasn't really fully run yet. He's done some treadmill stuff, and he's done some kind of, you know, jogging around on the arches, but he has not really gotten fully going. So I think we got to get him doing that. He's got to get quite a bit more base running before he goes out eventually on a rehab assignment.
So, John, Jerkson Profar's had a couple of throwing issues. Maybe it's not an issue. Maybe he's just had a couple of errant throws. But have you noticed anything there that has caught your attention or has you concerned in any way?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the accuracy there has not been great. It's not a physical injury issue. I mean, you've seen him really let it go quite a few times. One that stands out to me was a relay throw he made when we were in Oakland. He's playing second base at the time. He threw the runner out at third base on a ball in the right center gap. And I mean, the arm strength is there, so it's not a it has nothing to do with the shoulder injury. Missed a couple, some time with a couple of years ago. I think it's more of just a footwork mechanical deal that he's been working on. Had one yesterday, but for the most part, the last 4 or 5 days had been better. And the other thing, too, is that he hasn't played shortstop at the major league level on an everyday basis before. You know, and I do think it's a lot more demanding, and, you know, the small flaws like that get exposed more. He was out early working on those things today.
You know, John, it's funny just how things just kind of run together in your mind. As you're breaking that down, I'm sitting there thinking, now how much have I seen him on the big league team and how much has he been down? And then there's injuries. Where has, for the last, let's say, 4 to 5 years of Jerkson's career, when he's hasn't been dealing with injuries, where has he spent most of his time, position-wise?
Well, when he's been in the minor leagues, he's been almost exclusively at shortstop. You know, he missed the better part of 2 years with the arm injury, and then he DH'd for a little while when he came back because he was able to get the at-bats quicker. In the big leagues, you know, he's kind of bounced around a little bit, left field, all four infield spots. You know, he has not had a lot of shortstop time just because Elvis, you know, before he got hit by the pitch last month or a couple weeks ago, Elvis has played every day for the last close to 10 years, you know. So but in the minor leagues, he's played quite a bit of shortstop.
So one of the big positives of this season is how much that Joey Gallo is using all fields. Levi mm-hmm. Weaver with a great piece over in The Athletic about, you know, showing Joey's spray chart and the fact that he's using, you know, just spraying the ball all over the place. So is this something that you guys have worked with him on? Is this just personal development? What do you make of all this?
A bit of both. I mean, it's something that's clearly been brought to his attention when and not just in reaction to the shifts. I mean, kind of in it before that. But I think the other piece with Joey is that he's got a good swing. He's a good hitter. He's a good athlete. He's flexible, and he's smart. And in the past when he was coming up, I'd hear from time to time people would compare him to guys who were more like a Russell Branyan or somebody like that. That was, you know, more stiff, a little less athletic, a little more one-dimensional and kind of the approach at the plate. And, you know, it doesn't give him credit for the things that he's capable of doing. And so I think, you know, Joey's always had a swing that allows him to hit the ball hard to all areas of the field. I mean, listen, ground balls, he generally is going to pull, you know, hit full side ground balls. But his ability to, like, hit line drives and fly balls to all parts of the park has always been there.
Talking to John Daniels here on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. I'm sure as you're aware, just out there on Twitterverse or whatever, fans love Bartolo Colon. So I want to know, what is your description of his personality? Because I really don't know. I mean, he's been around forever, and I've heard a few things, but what is your assessment of what Bartolo's personality is like?
I have not really gotten to know him yet. We're just kind of observing. It's pretty, pretty low maintenance being around him. You know, smiling with his teammates, he likes to have fun, relatively quiet. You can see during the game, I mean, it's not a lot really gets under his skin. I mean, during the games, when he's pitching, he's, you know, pretty laid back. Line drive comebacker at him the other day, like, snags it, kind of laughs it off. Middle of a no-hitter the other, you know, a couple weeks ago in Houston, and they show him on the bench, like, laughing, joking around. A lot of guys would be a little more pensive or locked in. But he's just a really kind of like low maintenance, just likes to have fun, not bothered by a whole lot.
We're talking to John Daniels on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan, brought to you by BMW, the ultimate driving machine. You know, we've been talking a lot about the NFL draft, and I'm curious about the characteristics that carry over across any sport, really. And so I know that you try to find guys, you try to estimate or predict if a guy is going to be the same competitor after he gets paid or after he arrives, or is he going to continue to work hard? And that's got to be incredibly difficult. So, you know, I know that you covet those guys who are fiercely competitive, but how do you ride that line to get somebody who's not overly emotional?
Well, I think I don't know that overly emotional is necessarily a bad trait. It kind of depends on how it manifests itself and how whether they're able to kind of channel that. But, you know, a lot of times when a scout is telling you about a player or a coach is telling you about past experience with a player, you know, they'll be very general, right? He's always competitive. He's a great kid. He's got good makeup, high character, et cetera. And it is very likely the case, but we really challenge our guys to get deeper. We want to know the stories, right? Well, why does he have good makeup? What about it? You know, and so kind of forces the scouts to look for some different, right? How does this, all right, we know he's the star shortstop, cleanup hitter on his baseball team. What kind of teammate is he when he's the, you know, nickelback on his high school football team and he's not the star? And when he, you know, is the sixth man on his basketball team, or when the team loses, and is he there for his teammates? You know, how did this kid respond when, you know, horrible situation, his family got in a car accident, and his, you know, dad was hurt, or all the real life situations, and how did these players respond to those situations, respond to adversity? What kind of desire do they have to overcome that? So those are the kind of things that we're constantly talking about, in addition to, you know, just the little more basic kind of character and you know, makeup elements that I think people talk about more often. But what are the stories? Why would you say he's a competitor? You know, how does he handle it when he's not the best player on the field?
Okay, so then I want to take that back to your experience as a fan. You're a big New York Giants fan. They had high picks in this draft. And so knowing what you know from how in-depth your knowledge goes on drafting these baseball prospects, as a fan consuming the New York Giants draft, how much do you weigh that versus, oh, I have a strong opinion on this college player?
You know, I don't know enough or watch enough to even have a mildly watch enough college football, certainly at the level that you need to know what I was talking about outside of, you know, very general team by team stuff. So I don't pretend to know what I'm talking about. And I just want to be a fan. You know, I mean, I'm so locked in on the baseball side, on everything else. That, like, when it comes to football, I want to be a fan. I want to root for a team. I want to have some faith in decisions being made. And, you know, taking a step back, like, I was excited about what they did. You know, they got a, you know, fascinating guy in Barkley from an athletic standpoint. Also, it seems like from a makeup and competitive standpoint, you know, but I don't know enough to sit here and say, like, whether or not they passed on a quarterback that could be a, you know, a generational talent or not. Or I just kind of prefer to sit back and be a fan on those things.
They did get a quarterback there on day three, JD. Round three graded guy.
Richmond, baby.
Yeah, Kyle Lauletta. So it's him and Davis Webb will fight for the crown of next quarterback.
Nice.
That's congrats. A good pick, man. That's a good player.
Congrats, JD.
As Cowboys fan, what did you guys think of the Giants draft? Were you happy they didn't get a quarterback, or what are your thoughts?
I absolutely am. I mean, you know, their quarterback is aging, and I don't know if they'll ever be up at number two again. I mean, a lot has to go wrong to get there. What if those
quarterbacks weren't the guy?
I mean, you're telling me there's not one quarterback? I mean, there's only one quarterback, and it's Baker Mayfield, and none of the other guys can play?
I think they got a good chance at being back in the top five next year. Your thoughts, JD?
My point is, like, what if they're not? You know, if you pass, if it wasn't the right guy, if it wasn't a guy to carry you to a championship, then, like,
what did
you pass up on? You pass up on, like, in theory, of course, you don't pass on, like, you don't pass on Carson Wentz, but what if it's Rick Meyer or somebody else?
Sure, that's fair. If history shows that there was only one quarterback or no quarterbacks in this draft, sure. But I think what I would have done is I would have traded back and gotten additional picks. I don't think any running back is worth a number two pick, personally.
Uh-huh. Right. And to me, that sounds like, you know, very theoretical rather than, like, practical. Now, this guy's a superstar in Barkley. That's also, like, you know, team captain, one of, like, the elite, like, competitive guys in the league. And it's a, you know, he's a difference making, like, player on that level. Then,
John, we're out of time. This love letter to Saquon Barkley is not sponsored by BMW, and now we're all sad. Hey, but we're happy for you, man. We're happy for you because you're a gracious Giants fan. You still got you're kind to Cowboys and Cowboys fans, which we respect being here in Texas. But we're super happy that they didn't draft a quarterback. So time will tell. Maybe we'll play some sort of a haircut wager on this.
You know, I'm not going to go down that path again, but I will say this. my son and I went to the draft the first night, and we were sitting there, and there were a ton of Cowboys fans around us and talking. And the one guy that they did not want the Giants to take was Barkley, whatever it's worth.
All right.
All right.
We'll pick this conversation up in 2 years.
Look forward to it.
Hey, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it.
All right,
there he goes, John Daniels. He is, you know, it is a slippery slope because he so badly wants to, you know, talk trash with us and stuff. But at the same time, he's you know, he can't do that. He's nice about it.
They, you know what? I mean, honestly and truly, if they got weapons, they just need an offensive line.
Dude, they drafted that really good Hernandez guard
early in the second round.
Yeah.
We were talking about him, and I was like, oh, crap. Yeah, talking about him as a first-round pick for the Cowboys.
They still don't have a quarterback.
Eli, dog.
Come on.
Davis Webb.
Eli Davis Webb.
All right.
Is Geno Smith still there?
Yeah.
That's a fair question.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.